Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Team Grace, what I'd like to do is just address a few points in terms of how we receive Holy Communion. And then I'd like to call the children up as we talk a little bit more about Advent and what we're supposed to be doing during this season. So first, in terms of Holy Communion, last week for the Feast of Christ the King, I mentioned what should not be in our hearts when we receive Holy Communion, and that's grave sin. We cannot have grave sin in our hearts and approach for Holy Communion. If we're in grave sin, then we should go to sacramental confession first. If we're in grave sin, we can approach and ask for a blessing. If we're in grave sin, it's good that we come to Mass because we still receive graces just by participating in the Holy Sacrifice. But if we're in grave sin, we should not approach. Grave sin is a multiplicity of different things, including the willful missing of Sunday Mass. If you don't come to Mass, that is a grave sin. So if you've missed Sunday Mass on purpose, you can simply come and ask for a blessing and then head to the confessional at your earliest convenience. There are, of course, other grave sins. I direct you to the third part of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We've given out those catechisms. It's also available free online. You can walk through our moral way of life as Christian believers. But that was what should not be there. What I want to talk about this first Sunday of Advent is what should be in our hearts as we approach for Holy Communion. I want to stress the word union. We should have a union with Christ and a union with his church. Union with Christ means that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It means we're out in the midst of our world and we know that we're walking with the Lord. The way we treat our bodies, the way we spend our money, how we treat the poor, the sick, how we vote, everything is influenced by the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. We are walking with him. We are on the way with Jesus Christ. When we come to receive Holy Communion, we are crowning our discipleship. We should come and know the Lord. If someone is not walking with the Lord, if they leave this place of worship and the Lord is not even on their mind or does not influence any of their decisions, they are lacking in a union with Christ. And that should raise major concerns in terms of whether they should receive Holy Communion. And of course, we speak about union with the church. If someone does not agree with fundamental Christian beliefs of doctrine or morals, then they have some other work to do. For example, if a Christian were to support abortion, and let's not get creative here. There's so many who think they're so enlightened. I don't agree with abortion, but I think that other people should have the right. That's lunacy. That's utter lunacy. Only in the West that has lost its mind could that be presented as wisdom. I think murder's wrong, but it's okay if someone else wants to murder. That's ridiculous. What if a Christian supports abortion? Should they approach for Holy Communion? I would say no. They have other work to do. They should participate in the Mass, asking for the grace of the sacrifice. They should go to confession, seek spiritual counsel, study the teachings of the church. They have real work to do as Christian disciples when they are called to die to themselves and to accept the most excellent way of love, to follow the Lord Jesus. So if we are at odds with the church or central teachings of the church, the divinity of Christ, it's amazing, dear friends, how many people receive Holy Communion and do not even acknowledge Jesus Christ as God. Then again, there are people who receive Holy Communion who do not even believe in the real presence. So if we are at odds with the fundamental teachings of the church, we should abstain from receiving Holy Communion. We have real work we have to do first. So union. Union with Christ, union with the church. In Latin, the term with union is communion. Communion. When Mother Church uses the term Holy Communion, she's not simply referring to the Eucharist. Mother Church is also referring to our reception of the Eucharist. It should be a holy communion. I receive the Eucharist because I'm in union with Christ and the church. The reception of Holy Communion is the public declaration of that belief, of that union, which is why, again, Holy Communion is not simply the Eucharist, but our reception of the Eucharist, and even more fundamentally, the state of our souls as we approach for Holy Communion. So with that understanding, let's ask a few questions. These oftentimes come up pastorally. If someone is in grave sin, should they approach for Holy Communion? No. They should approach and ask for a blessing. They need to go to sacramental confession. If someone denies or is in obstinacy against the chief teaching of the church, should they approach for Holy Communion? No. They should approach and receive a blessing. They have other work to do as a disciple. What about fallen away Catholics? You know, the Catholics who like to bounce and just come to Mass every once in a while, right? What about them? Well, every Mass that they miss is a grave sin. They should not approach for Holy Communion, and they need to begin to stabilize their relationship with the Lord. And the worship of God is first in our discipleship. What about non-Catholics? When we invite our non-Catholic neighbors to worship, which I hope that you're doing, inviting your neighbors to join us for worship. What about the non-Catholics who come? Should they approach for Holy Communion? No. Well, why is that, some might ask? Well, that's right, because we're a Catholic club and they're not a member of the club, right? No, that's not true. For some people, they think it's a lack of hospitality, which is why it's very important as Catholics we explain. When we receive Holy Communion, that's the public declaration that we believe. The Hebrew word amen is so power-packed, we can't translate it. Amen means, I believe, so be it. This is who I am. This is what I acknowledge. This is my life. Amen is so holistic. So when the Holy Communion is presented and the person says amen, it's a public declaration of faith. When our non-Catholic neighbors come, they don't believe as we believe. They are not in communion with us. And so to have them receive Holy Communion is to ask them to lie before the very altar of God. And we do not ask people to lie. We respect our neighbors. We love them. In charity and justice, we need to explain. You can't receive Holy Communion because you don't believe as we believe. And we acknowledge your beliefs and we respect them. So non-Catholics should not approach for Holy Communion. But wait a minute, what about the other side? What about when a Catholic goes to a non-Catholic worship service? Can they receive communion there? Well, first, it's good that you go to non-Catholic services every once in a while. It's good that we are good neighbors. If our neighbor invites us, we can certainly attend a Protestant worship service. As I say that, of course, I acknowledge that simultaneously you still have to come to Mass. So it's not, oh, I checked the box for the weekend, I went to the Methodist church, I'm good to go. No, back it up. Remember, a Protestant service, according to their tradition, this is not a judgment, this is a summary of their tradition. A Protestant service is a singing of sacred songs, the offering of prayers, and the service of the minister to present one interpretation, his or her interpretation, of the scriptures. That is infinitely different than a Catholic Mass. Dear friends, a Catholic Mass is the representation by the power of the Holy Spirit of the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ to God the Father. And we are able to be a part of that as members of the baptized. That is infinitely superior to any sacrifice, any service, any worship. So if we go to the Protestant service, we need to be good neighbors, but you have to make sure you get the Catholic Mass. But what about when we go to those Protestant services and they have communion? Can we receive communion? No. No. The fact that these questions even come up indicates how much we have lost in terms of our Eucharistic understanding. When I go to a Protestant service, I am not in communion with that community. I'm not a Methodist, I'm not a Lutheran, I'm not a Presbyterian, I'm not non-denominational, I'm a Roman Catholic. When I go to these Protestant services, I should not receive communion, for I am not in communion with them. Now, in the Protestant tradition, communion is approached very differently. Everyone can receive, even atheists. Come up. It's a very different understanding. In fact, as Catholics, we can almost argue it's one step above a bread line. As Catholics, we have a very different understanding. As a Catholic, if you receive communion in a Protestant service, you are declaring that you are in union with that community. Depending on how much knowledge you have, that could be a public act of apostasy, that you are denying your beliefs in the Roman Catholic Church. So we do not receive communion when we go to another church. Now, sometimes people ask me, well, wait a minute, Father, why would I come to Mass? Get this. Why would I come to Mass if I can't receive Holy Communion? Now, that shows how much we have lost. Dear friends, let me repeat again. This is the one sacrifice represented for us here, the one sacrifice of the eternal Son of God. As baptized people, we are privileged to attend and participate in this sacrifice. Just by being here, we receive grace. This is our worship. Our worship is not to show up and receive communion and everything else is just kind of incidental. We come, our worship is to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice with Christ to God the Father. That's our worship. The reception of Holy Communion, that is for those who have been who are prepared and worthy to receive. You know, only in the West do we find that the vast majority of our congregation goes to Holy Communion. Only in the West. Go to Africa, Latin America, Asia. Catholic communities there, oftentimes it's perhaps a half that will approach for Holy Communion because they have integrity, because they understand what it means to receive Holy Communion. They participate in the sacrifice, but they make sure that they are prepared and worthy in order to approach Holy Communion. That doesn't mean every Sunday we should be approaching for Holy Communion. In fact, the spiritual masters even say that it's good, even if we are prepared and worthy, that we periodically abstain from Holy Communion in order to nurture deeper awe and gratitude for the privilege to receive Holy Communion. Dear friends in the West, we have completely lost our sense of reverence and homage to the Blessed Sacrament and to the reception of Holy Communion. Today I wanted to emphasize what should be in our hearts as we approach. There is no embarrassment to approach the altar of God having participated in the sacrifice and to simply ask for a blessing. In fact, I would hope that will become more normative, especially for those who are not prepared, who do not have a union with Christ, who do not have a union with his church, that they will participate in the sacrifice in order to seek the graces of conversion, so that then when they receive Holy Communion, their action reflects what is truly in their heart, that they have a holy communion with Christ and his church, and therefore receive his body and blood. Now we're going to continue to walk as a parish family through the Advent season. I'm going to continue to describe what it means for us to receive Holy Communion, to be a part of this holy sacrifice, what it means to eat the flesh and to drink the blood of the Son of Man. But for now, I think we've covered some of the basics. And now we get to switch a little bit. And I'm going to need the children to come forward because we have to talk about Advent. Come on up, children. Don't be shy. There you go. You can have a